Good morning. It's Thursday, September 10th. I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's early edition from KMUW News. Studies show 1 in 5 Kansas adults cannot read well enough to understand instruction manuals or healthcare forms. Adult education programs are trying to help that.
An adult is learning for the now, and what they need to know is how can whatever it is that we're trying to teach them improve their lives now.
We'll learn about the state of adult literacy in Kansas coming up after the news. Kansas State Board of Education members got their first look at a draft policy on the use of technology in the classroom on Tuesday. KMUW's Daniel Cottle reports.
With Kansas banning student cell phones this year, education officials are now discussing policy around school-owned devices. Kansas Education Commissioner Jake Steele is proposing a requirement that each school district adopt policies governing the use of technology in class. Steele says each district's policies would have to address how students at each grade level use school-owned computers and whether they use them at home.
You are letting them make the choice as a local system, but you are requiring them to tell you very specific information that you think is necessary if they're making that choice.
Districts would have to periodically review their policies with teachers and parents. The board will continue discussing the proposal and its implementation this week. For KMUW News, I'm Daniel Cottle.
The Sedgwick County District Attorney's Office says a new consumer protection law helped a local woman recover money she lost in a cryptocurrency scam. The new state law requires cryptocurrency ATM operators to provide refunds to victims of fraud under certain conditions. District Attorney Mark Bennett cited the case as a caution to the public during a media event Wednesday. He says if people suspect a cryptocurrency scam, they should report it right away.
If this happens to you or someone you know or care about, and you find out, the sooner you tell us, the more likely it will be that we have a shot at getting your money back.
People who think they've been targeted by a scam, including one involving a cryptocurrency ATM, should contact the county's Consumer Protection Division or file a report with their local police department. Kansas Attorney General Chris Kobach says more local law enforcement agencies should cooperate with Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE. As Zach Boblett of the Kansas News Service reports, Kobach is pointing to a recent stabbing death as a reason.
Erlen Lagos Gonzalez, a Honduran citizen with a deportation order from 2025, is accused of killing another man at a cattle facility in southwest Kansas. Kobach says the case shows ICE needs help from local law enforcement.
The problem is too big for ICE alone to take care of it.
One third of all Kansas counties have agreements with ICE, allowing local officers to assist with immigration enforcement. Kobach blames liability concerns, along with sheriffs being busy, as reasons why more counties have not signed up. Democrat Chris Mann, who's running against Kobach for the office, says he trusts local law enforcement to decide what's best for their communities. At the Kansas State House, I'm Zach Boblett.
Kansas farmers will more easily share information with the federal government after the U.S. Department of Agriculture announced plans to modernize farm data collection. The USDA plans to improve technology used to estimate yields and share data from farmer surveys. Jennifer Ift is a professor of agriculture policy at Kansas State University. She says farmers use these data constantly.
It's fundamental for policy. For farms, it's, you know, they're making decisions. What are you going to produce? What inputs are you going to use? How are you going to manage risk?
Ift says the ag industry has talked about modernizing the data for more than a decade. The USDA will begin implementing the plan immediately and will continue engaging farmers. Wichita's connection to Amtrak passenger trains in Newton and Oklahoma City could be ending. An independent throughway bus called the Beeline Express runs regular routes to connect Amtrak's Southwest Chief in Newton to the Heartland Flyer in Oklahoma City. It stops in Wichita and Wellington. A notification on the Beeline website says the route will no longer be available starting October 1st. Passenger rail advocates say officials with the Kansas Department of Transportation are meeting with the bus company in hopes of preserving the service. The Beeline Express was established in 2019. Officials with Wichita's Second Light Shelter announced Wednesday that donors have exceeded a fundraising goal, raising $1.7 million to help fund operations. The new donations will be added to a $1 million match gift from United Way of the Plains. Officials said Second Light is now fully funded for the rest of this year and into 2027. Second Light is a community resource hub and emergency shelter designed to help people who are experiencing or are at risk of homelessness. It's located in the former Park Elementary School building at 1025 North Main. Boeing Wichita is under new leadership. Boeing announced that Sean Black is no longer general manager and site leader at Boeing Wichita, which is the former Spirit AeroSystems company that was reacquired by Boeing last December. Black will serve as vice president overseeing the future production system for Boeing's commercial jet unit. The company announced that Shakira Pastrana Nauman will transition to site leader of Boeing Wichita. She's currently vice president and general manager of Boeing's commercial fabrication division. The Kansas State Fair starts tomorrow in Hutchinson, and this year's event features several new attractions. The Freedom Truck is described as an American museum on wheels. It will be parked at the fair to help celebrate America's 250th birthday. In addition, there's the America 250 Duck Hunt, in which 250 rubber ducks will be hidden throughout the fairgrounds, some with prizes. Other new attractions this year include the Budweiser Clydesdales, the Equifest Summer Ranch Rodeo, and several giant sand sculptures by artist Dan Belcher. The fair runs through September 20th. Wichita State University announced Wednesday that University Police Chief Guy Schroeder will retire at the end of this semester. Schroeder has worked at the WSU Police Department for 10 years and has been chief since 2022. He was interim chief in late 2021 and previously served as a captain in the department. Prior to his time at WSU, Schroeder worked for the Wichita Police Department for more than 30 years. Wichita State will soon begin the search process for a new chief and will share details at a later date. Wichita State University will host service events Friday to mark the 25th anniversary of 9/11. The day of service begins at 8 a.m. in the Radigan Student Center. Volunteer opportunities include making dental and feminine hygiene kits, making fleece blankets, and helping clean up litter at Fairmount Park. Off campus, volunteers can help build shelving at the Urban League or organize donated items at United Way's Give Warehouse. More information is on the Volunteer ICT webpage at wichita.galaxydigital.com. And now, KMUW's Luann Stevens brings us some upcoming events around the Wichita area.
Autumn and Art is tomorrow through Sunday at Bradley Fair. Hope Fest is 10 to 12 on Saturday at WSU's Radigan Student Center. It's supporting the Sedgwick County Suicide Prevention Coalition. The Read ICT All Ages Read in Public event is 10:30 a.m. on Saturday. It's at Central Riverside Park, and you can join KMUW's Suzanne Perez, and the WPL Book Bus will be there too. It takes place near the Wildlife Exhibit. Tea Fest is 11 to 3 on Saturday at Napsker Park. It brings together tea, herbs, art, wellness, and community. Zubilee is 6 p.m. on Saturday at the Sedgwick County Zoo with live music, food, and drinks, and a chance to roam the zoo grounds all evening. Ori's Garlic Fest is 11 to 3 on Sunday in Old Town at the Farm and Art Market Plaza and along Rock Island Street. There are dozens of local vendors with garlicky food and drinks, and there will be live music. And the Crave Culinary Festival is next Tuesday through Saturday at Mark Arts. It's a showcase of food, beverages, chefs, and artisans. Find out about these events and more at our events calendar. It's at kmuw.org.
We'll be back after this.
This week on Into Music, Chris Leo of The Van Pelt discusses his renewed enthusiasm for life.
It's terrifying, but it's also really vibrant and fun. And it's all of it. It's absolutely everything all at once.
That's Into Music this Thursday from KMUW. Find it at kmuw.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's Early Edition. One in five adults in Kansas cannot read well enough to understand instruction manuals or healthcare forms, according to a 2017 study by the federal government. KMUW reporter Anavi Prakash spoke with editor Suzanne Perez about the state of adult literacy in Kansas and the role of adult education in closing the gap.
So, Anavi, the term functionally illiterate is something we hear quite a bit, but what does that really mean?
Functionally illiterate means a person might be able to read really simple words and even some sentences, but they really don't understand what all of those words put together mean.
Right. So how does that play out in a person's day-to-day life?
It really has ripple effects in every aspect of a person's life. For example, I spoke with Hector Martinez, who is the director of adult education for the Kansas Board of Regents. He did a study a few years ago in Garden City where he found that a lot of the people there, many of whom work in the meatpacking industry, could not understand the safety labels on the heavy machinery they were operating. And that increased the likelihood of them getting in an accident, which then has effects for the rest of their life in terms of being able to work, being able to provide for their families, and creating that financial stability.
For sure. So by contrast, then, what is functional literacy? What does that mean?
At its core, functional literacy is gaining those reading and math skills that really are the foundation of a lot of things in the daily life. But what's interesting for adult literacy specifically is that it falls under the umbrella of adult education in terms of the resources available. And adult education falls under the umbrella of workforce development at the federal and state levels. So what that means is adult literacy and functional literacy by extension not only encompasses those essential skills like reading and math, but it's also about how to use a computer, how to create a resume, and how to be really workforce ready and earn credentials. I spoke with Shaketa Thomas, who is the president of a national nonprofit, the Coalition on Adult Basic Education, and she says that kids in school will really learn skills that they're saving to use in the future. But for adults, the need for those skills and their use of those skills is really more immediate.
An adult is learning for the now. And what they need to know is how can whatever it is that we're trying to teach them improve their lives now. So their goals and their expectations are a little bit more immediate because they have responsibilities.
And for people who are immigrants or refugees, adult education can also include English as a second language classes, as well as just understanding cultural workplace norms.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So what comes next for this issue, adult literacy, in the Wichita area?
The most common way that a lot of people are learning about adult education programs is through word of mouth. A lot of people in the field are looking to increase programming to meet demand. Yamir Losada is the director of Sedgwick County's Adult Education Center, Next Step Alliance. He says that more funding and just awareness about adult education is key.
We're doing a lot, and there's a lot of need, not just here in Wichita, not just in Sedgwick County, but in the state and in the nation.
But the biggest barrier is really more funding. The state only gives adult education around $1.6 million each year, compared to around $6.6 billion for K-12 education. Really, the goal for a lot of adult education centers is to diversify their funding sources and really just continue helping people get an adult education.
Yeah, lots of issues there. Funding, awareness. Thank you so much for your research on this and the insight. Really appreciate the information and look forward to learning more.
Thank you.
That was KMUW's Anavi Prakash talking with editor Suzanne Perez. The Wichita Journalism Collaborative will host a kickoff event next week for Beyond Words, which is a new initiative exploring adult literacy. More information is at kmuw.org. Thanks for listening to Wichita's Early Edition. We'll be back again tomorrow. For KMUW News, I'm Fletcher Powell.
Wichita's Early Edition is part of the NPR Podcast Network.
The fatal shooting of a teenager at a protest in Seattle has gone unsolved for 6 years.
This is open in your face. How are there no answers?
Our investigation has uncovered new evidence and witnesses who say they've never talked to police.
Did police ever call you?
Not once.
Listen to We Keep Us Safe, a new true crime series on the Embedded podcast from NPR.